Now, so here we are. This is the last of the series that we had started about 6 weeks ago. Really asking the question, if you were to start over, if you were to get to the point where you said, you know what, I really just want to do over in my faith, or maybe you're just starting out in your faith. We wanted this series to kind of highlight those things that are most important as you're exploring. What does it look like to reset? And we landed on there's one extremely important question. In fact, I would say it's the most important question of your entire life, and it's simply this: who is Jesus? And how you answer that question, it changes everything. If Jesus is the Lord, if Jesus is the Savior, then it changes everything. So when we answer that question, when we say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, we say basically that I agree that God sent his Son, sent Jesus to live the life that I could not live, to die the death that we should have died, and rise on our behalf. That's the debt that Jesus paid. Jesus paid it all. So all of this gets us to the point, to that starting line of faith. It doesn't finish our faith. It is not the end goal. It is the beginning of the race. It's the beginning of the journey as a Christian. And so as we learn to grow and as we step into it, we then have to learn how to spend time with God. How do we grow in our faith? Well, we connect to the vine through God's word. Jesus said in John chapter 15 that he was the vine and his Father was the vine dresser. And it's only through Christ that we are connected to God the Father. And we do that through God's word, through prayer, through other expressions of worship. If we are to grow on this vine and being connected to this vine, you know what else it means? There are others connected to the vine with you. And so when you begin to see the church as people to whom you belong, well, your motivation for gathering changes. The church service that you attend, the Bible studies, the people that you have over for dinner, all become not just a means to receive, but a means to give. When we grow in our relationship with God, when our love for God and for one another and in our community, you know what that does? It sets us free to serve. So God, through Jesus, set us free to serve others in love. And our job as Christians is to embrace that freedom, to no longer be bound down by those chains that tell us that we are not free to serve, that we are not free to live a life in Christ. It's learning that each one of us has a life that we live at the foot of the cross. Because at that place, we each are free from the chain of sin. Just as we are. So today, we're going to finish up and look at the understanding that our generosity reveals our spiritual condition. And for those of you that are just visiting with us for the first time, yes, you did step into a giving sermon. So, sorry. But for those of you that have been here for a while, you did step into a giving sermon, so sorry. Not really. Hey, so when we choose to follow Jesus, what we're doing is we are saying yes to being transformed into the likeness of Christ. We are saying yes into being part of the body. We are saying yes into being formed into the likeness of Jesus. So generosity and everything that it entails, it reveals our resistance to this transformation. Each one of us have this going on. We have two thoughts that are at war, and they're scarcity versus abundance. The idea of scarcity, that I have to grab for myself, that there is not enough, there will never be enough, that things will never change, that we have to take care of ourselves over everyone else, versus the idea that God has given us all that we need, and we can never outgive God. our others first mentality flows into that idea. Jesus taught much more about abundance in our life. In fact, we're going to look in Luke chapter 6 today. Luke chapter 6, it contains some teaching from Jesus that challenges the norm of the day. Now, these challenges were presented not only to those that he was interacting with, but also to his closest followers. So as Jesus was walking and talking and teaching and having fellowship with his disciples, the ones that traveled with him from place to place, he had a lot of challenging thoughts that changed the way that they viewed the world, the way that they viewed the kingdom, the way that they viewed their possessions. Jesus was telling them that the poor have an inheritance. He said, the poor will receive an inheritance. The hungry, well, they will be filled. The mourning, they will have joy. And Jesus said some things that were crazy, like, love your enemies. We need to understand that abundance comes from God. God created the world for us to enjoy and to have an abundant life with him. But the problem is, we live in a world that has sin in it, and sin always distracts. It always pulls us away, and sin always tells us there is scarcity, so grab yours before someone else does. Look out for your own needs first, because no one else will. Jesus, though, told us to seek the kingdom of God first. If you seek the kingdom of God, then everything else, he said, will be added to you. Because Jesus wants us to understand and to know what a transformed life of generosity, what it looks like, what it produces. Look with me in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 37. This is Jesus speaking, and he's telling his disciples, listen, I'm tell you a few things that will help you to understand more about what I'm calling you to. He says, judge not, and you will not be judged. It's pretty good advice, right? Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. We're kind of nodding along so far, right? Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Okay, give. And it will be given to you. This is talking about money. But giving is much more than that. Giving is forgiveness, it's grace, and it's love. Jesus said, if you give, it will be given to you. When good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And as I was thinking about, what does that look like? How could I kind of paint that picture? Because Jesus, when he was speaking, who knows exactly what was going on around him? There could have been a bag full of wheat or some sort of produce. And he says, if you give, it will be given to you. And it won't just be like just kind of poured in there. It will be pressed down. It'll be shaken together. It'll be running over. It'll be heaped on. Jesus told them. Told us that if you give, it will be given back to you, heaped up, pressed down, combined, till it overruns, spills over the top, and goes into your lap. See, here's the thing. This wasn't just about money. Jesus is saying, whatever you dish out, you'll get back. Whatever you're heaping out, you will get back. Are you dishing out judgment? Are you dishing out condemnation? Well, guess what? You will receive it back and in good measure. Has that worked in life? Have you noticed that work in life? You will receive it back in good measure. Dishing out. If you dish out forgiveness, do you receive forgiveness back? If you dish out grace, if you dish out love, if you learn to be generous with your money, with your time, with your prayers, with your encouragement, if you dish those things out, if you dish them out, will they ultimately come back to you, running over, filling up, spilling over into your lap? So my question as we begin this message is this: what are you dishing out? Now, I know in high school, when the boys got together, we knew what we were dishing out, right? And when we got it back, some of us weren't too happy about it, right? Because Jesus said this: listen, for the measure you give, it will be measured back to you. The way that you give, it will be given back. For the way that you measure it out, if you are chintzy with it, well, you'll probably receive back small things. So that speaks into our understanding that we need to be careful how we live. We need to be careful how we seek attention, how we seek to be transformed, how we seek to engage in the things that God is calling us to. As we are looking at our lives and saying, God, I want you to transform me into the image of your Son, be careful of the things that you're dishing out. At this moment in time, in your current trip around the sun, you are being trained. You are engaged in training at this moment. You're in a training ground until you reach the threshold of eternity. When you breathe your last and you breathe your first in the kingdom of God, your training here is over. God uses every moment of your day, every week of your year to train you in godliness, to train you in being formed into the image of a son. So we need to be grateful then. We need to be grateful and put into practice transformation into the image of Christ. Because he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Now, for some of us, we're like, I can't wait. And for some of us, we're going, uh-oh. Because we become like the one that we follow. Our thoughts are shaped by the voices that we listen to. So there's a hard question for you. By the fruit of your current training, is your teacher the ruler of this world or the heir of the kingdom of God? In other words, are you becoming more like Christ in your training? Because the way we answer this, especially when we talk about generosity, especially when we talk about money, is we have two different views of it. There's scarcity. In fact, I only will look out for me and mine. There's abundance that God will supply for every need. Now, I think that is a statement that is easy to say. Oh, the Lord will provide. But how many of us live like the Lord will provide? Because this is at war in us. Think about it. It started when you were a little kid. Somebody had candy, and it was in a jar, free for the taking. Did you just take one piece? No. And you just start putting it in your pocket, right? We learn to hoard. And then when your brother, your sister, or a friend says, hey, give me some of that, you go, uh-uh, go get your own. Right? So what we need to learn today is to learn how to be generous with our money, with gifts, with encouragement, with forgiveness, with prayer, with grace, and with love. If this is the only time that you have tuned in over the whole time that I've been here, I want you to lean in now. And I want you to hear what I'm encouraging our family here at First Baptist to do. I want you to seek to be overwhelmingly generous in these areas, to be overwhelmingly generous with your money, with your gifts, with your encouragement, with forgiveness and prayer, grace and love. Because if we do these things, we will then not accept the lie that Satan plants in our own heart, that thing that draws you away and that starts you to train in the ways of the world. The scarcity that there is not enough. So get yours. So we'll go one by one, starting with this. Be generous with money. All right, that's it. Anyone need to pray? You know, right? This isn't about tithing, though. This is about so much more than tithing. I want you to hear that. It's not about checking off a box. It's not about filling out a check, filling out an envelope. This is more to do with something that Jesus would continue to tell us. It's about the releasing of the hold that money has over you so that you can be free from the control that it has. See, this is about generosity and finances. And if you start asking, okay, in the New Testament, what does Jesus say about money? He doesn't give us any suggestion. And I will tell you, if you've read the New Testament, you find that Jesus never calls us to less. He always calls us to more. So 10% is a good place to start. But here's the issue. We ask, particularly when it comes to this type of thing, what's the least I can do? We might not say it out loud, but we might go, remember when they used to put out in the foyer everybody's giving envelopes? And so you made sure that you gave just enough to get a giving envelope so people knew that you at least gave something. Anyone been there? Okay. Thank you for being brave enough to raise your hand. We've been there. Is I supposed to say that? No. Okay. Good. But here's the thing. At the end of our financial year, when we look at it in our context of our own finances, when we look at it at our monthly budget, when we get that paycheck in and we know that there are this many bills and there's this many things that we need, when we start looking at being generous and giving to the church, we go, oh, what does God want? Well, here's what God wants. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Bring the full tithe into my house so that there will be plenty for the things that I will be doing. And God says, if you will do this and put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Now, this is not you give God $10, he'll give you back $100. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about you give money to the church and God gives you more money. We're talking about God gives you blessings. God gives you an opportunity to engage in the kingdom economy, to engage in being a person that pushes the gospel into all the nations, being a person that pushes things out so that you will see the blessing that comes. And it may not be money, but it could be a friendship. It could be another person coming to know Jesus. It could be a blessing that you would have no idea how amazing it was until you received it. See, I believe that there's a bright future here at First Baptist, and we are on the horizon of moving forward into some amazing plans that God has for us. I believe that with all my heart. But I also need you to know this, that all the funds that we get, they come from you. We have no larger denominational structure that funnels money down to us. Everything that we do comes from you. Now, I told you months and months and months ago that we have all the money that we will ever need. It just resides in your bank account. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a business meeting, and we put out this budget, and we had a total budget of $837,000. And how many of you go, oh, my goodness gracious. Well, let me quickly break that down for you just so that you understand what we're talking about. I asked, hey, listen, how many families do we have that give systematically and regularly? In other words, how many people do we give an envelope statement for? And it's about 60 families. To put this in perspective, a very conservative, low bottom rung estimate is that we have 250 families represented in this church. So, doing a little bit of math, it's like 25%. If we got 111 families to give on average $537 a month, we would exceed our $837,000 budget by about $500. It only takes 111 people giving $537 a month. Now, if you push back and you say, listen, I know that I can't do that, and I know that that is well more than 10%, that's not what we're asking everyone to do. Here's what we're asking. Can you give what God has given you? Can you go and look at your finances and say, God, I'm going to give to you first? And from that, God will take it. He'll push it together. My family, we give more than $537 a month. And we're trying and we're looking at our finances. What can we do so that we can take on more than that, so that we can give the amount of two families? How can we figure that out in our own finances? And so for you, you may be well able to give more than $537 a month. And that's great. But you may push back and say this, listen, that's a really big number. Why such a big number? Well, we have a debt for this building that we're sitting in. We have a hope for the future that we would have a full-time worship leader. We need to make a few improvements to our existing facilities. And we need to give 10% to missions. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things on my heart when I came here was to look at the budget and see that a little bit more than 1.5% went to missions. That was it. Breaks my heart. And so what we want to do is we want to say we want to invest a full 10%, hopefully more, into missions. Because we want this church as an organization to do the very thing that we are asking our families to do, to start at 10% and then go from there. Now, if you don't give, I want to ask you to maybe start today. Is your budget out of whack? Are you in a place where you're like, oh my goodness, if I gave 10%, I don't think I could eat? And that's a very real reality. We're not asking you to be a person that's irresponsible. But I want you to start thinking about the first thing that you do with a paycheck is give something back to God. Maybe it's $10 a week. It's a good start. It's better than nothing, and it's better than not yielding to God in this principle. This is a kingdom principle, you guys. It's God's economy. He says, listen, I don't want money to have a hold on you, so you need to give over so that you can be released from the hold that it has. Generosity is not about being irresponsible and not caring for your family. It's not about not paying your bills, but it's about figuring out, are there some places that God's calling me to adjust? It's not about anything but the hold that money has on us. Because truth be told, money, no matter how much you have, it doesn't bring security. And it doesn't bring safety. In fact, I've been told that it doesn't matter how much money you have. In fact, the more that you get, the bigger your troubles. And I'm like, God, could I test that one? But here's the deal. More money doesn't solve the issue of a divided heart. And that's what Jesus was speaking about. As he spoke about finances, about stewardship, about the condition of our hearts in the struggle of money, he spoke about that more than he even spoke about the kingdom of God. Because he understood something about us. That our hearts will always be divided if we have something that has hold and produces fear, and something that we hoard like we do our money. So be generous. Be generous to those who serve God by leading you. Be generous to those who interact in the life of the church. Be generous then, Paul, or then Jesus continues. You know, he talks about how our generosity affects all areas of life. And I want you to think about how you're generous with your gifts, not Christmas presents, not birthday presents. I'm talking about your time, your talents, your resources, your service. Every person in Christ is given, they're given a spiritual gift. They're given something which benefits the church. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where the moth and the rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus is saying the kingdom economy is things that money can't buy. Can't buy your connectedness to the body. It says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where you lay up your treasure is where your heart is. So are you laying up treasure in the kingdom of God or in the kingdoms of this world? Are you serving others? Are you helping those in need? Are you using the natural abilities that God has given you, the natural talents that God has endowed you with to build the church, to serve the kingdom, to promote the gospel? Are you offering your skills, your manpower to the mission of the church? So we need to learn what it means to be generous with our gifts, with our service, with our volunteerism, and understand that there are many that need us to fill in a gap. And sometimes we're sitting there going, you know what? I know that someone needs to fill a need. But have you ever stopped to consider that you may well be the someone that God had in mind? We need to learn to be generous with our encouragement. We need to learn to express our gratitude to those who serve. Express our gratitude to the ones who watch over your children so that you can worship in a worship service. The ones that lead the Bible studies. The ones that do the work of the ministries here at this church. Express your gratitude to the ones that give their time and their efforts in the food distributions. Be thankful. Be generous with your encouragements. Seeking as you are, to become a person who helps others to know what it means to be transformed in the likeness of Christ, to be one that is transformed from the inside out. Become a disciple who makes disciples. The writer of Hebrews tells us, let us hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, he says, how we will stir one another up to love and good works. We've hit this quite a few times through this series because we need to understand at our core, our job is to encourage, to promote, to help one another and not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but instead encourage one another and all the more as you see the kingdom of God drawing near. We need to be generous with encouragement. We need to be generous with forgiveness. Give forgiveness to others. Have you ever withheld forgiveness to someone? What does it do in your own heart? We need to seek to be people that forgive others. Seek to give forgiveness for the things that have been done to you. And seek to be forgiven for the things that you've done that have hindered the work of God in your own life and in the lives of others. Jesus told us that we need to forgive our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. That's the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us in the manner in which we have been forgiven. Or that we have forgiven. In him, Paul says, that we have redemption. That we have redemption in the blood of Christ, forgiveness for our trespasses. According to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Jesus lavished the riches of grace and forgiveness on our sin. And we need to be generous with our prayers. We need to seek to understand the depths of what does it mean to be connected to God through prayer. What does it mean to not just do a glancing prayer, God, thank you for this food? But what does it mean to be generous with our prayer? To stop in the very moment that somebody says, would you pray for me? And to pray for them. To pray for others when they ask you to. See, prayer, it costs you absolutely nothing. But it has the potential to change everything. To change everything in your life, in the life of another, and in the church. Paul says to pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. He said, listen, you need to be praying so much with perseverance. In other words, God says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray until my hand moves. I want you to pray until the kingdom comes in that person's life. I want you to never stop praying for that one that is far from me. Pray until you see that I've moved. God wants us to be generous with our prayers. He also wants us to be generous with grace. Respond to others with grace. Now I know, as a husband, I need a lot of grace. I know as a father, I need a lot of grace. And I know as a pastor, I need a whole lot of grace. That I would give grace freely so that it would be received freely. Extend grace to the ones that have brought you harm. Respond in grace to those who have sin in their lives. News alert, that's everyone. So you might want to pick your purse up. Respond in grace to those that have sin in their lives. That's everyone. Be filled with the grace of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, he says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Owe no one anything but the debt of love. So be generous with love. Be generous with love. And this is one of the greatest gifts of all gifts. As we look in the scriptures, we see time and time again that love is the mark of somebody that has been transformed by Christ. Love is the greatest of gifts. Love is the greatest of things that binds us together. In fact, Jesus said, love is how you will know that these are my disciples. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Be generous in all of the areas that we discussed today. Generosity says more about you than possibly you had initially thought. Because our approach to generosity reveals our spiritual condition. Our approach to how we live a life of generosity reveals the things that Christ is doing inside us. To go back to an earlier question, what type of fruit is being born out of the practice of your life? Is it kingdom-minded? Is it generosity? Is it connected to the vine? Is it the fruit of being transformed into the likeness of Jesus? Would you pray with me? Father God, we are extremely grateful. God, that you've given us all that we need to live a life that is in full view of you. God, that you've given us everything that we need so that we will be made right in your presence. You've given us, God, you've given us Jesus. And it's through his perfect sacrifice that we have life with you forever. So, Father, for the person in this room that may not have ever given their life over to you, that have never walked across that line, stepped across that line of faith and said that I believe that Jesus did what I could not do and that he rose to show that I am united in him. It's through the resurrection that we lay claim to eternal life, that we lay claim to the sin debt that was paid by Jesus. So, Father, let us start there and learn what it means to be generous with our money, with our time, with our love, with our faith, with our grace, with our forgiveness. God, help us to learn what it looks like to live a life that is full tilt, generous, not for our own sake, but for the sake of your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray.